Philippians, the first chapter.
My eye doesn't fall on the verse, the day of Jesus Christ, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak a little now on the day of Jesus Christ and what takes place in the day of Jesus Christ. We were singing in that little hymn that it's his joys that give us joy. It's his joy. And is that not only right that the bride should rejoice in that which her husband has to do with? And so, I'd like to read first in 1 Thessalonians, the verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe this is the first thing mentioned in connection with the day of Jesus Christ. You know, in 1 Corinthians 4 and 3, in the margin you'll read man's day. We're in man's day now. But beloved, soon it'll be the day of Jesus Christ. It'll be the day of his joy. And so it'll be the day of our joy. Because we will rejoice in his joy. Now, what occurs in the day of Jesus Christ? Well, we've read of the rapture. And following that, the judgment seat of Christ. Then we find that there is the marriage of the Lamb, marriage supper of the Lamb. And following that, the Lord Jesus comes forth out of heaven, riding on a white horse with his armies, that's all the saints, following him. And following that, he subdues everything to himself. And then he delivers it up to God, even the Father, that God may be all in all. Now, these are just some points connected with the day of Jesus Christ. And we'll speak briefly on the different ones. The saints at Thessalonica probably were quite young in the faith, and they were hoping to see the Lord at any time. They didn't have the truth of the rapture yet, but some of them had died. And the apostle was given a revelation connection with this, which we enjoy. And that is that those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When? Well, when the saints come with Christ to reign, of course. But then in the meantime, what will happen? He's going to take them up just like he rose from the dead. Even so, it says, the very same way, the saints will be raised out of their graves and will have part in the first resurrection. And so the resurrection then is connected with the rapture. The rapture is the day of the first resurrection. Now, there will be a second part to the first resurrection, and that's when the martyrs are raised. That's the 20th chapter of Revelation. The 11th chapter. The 14th chapter. And reference made in the 15th chapter. That is, there is a first resurrection and there is a second resurrection. There's a resurrection of life and a resurrection of judgment. And now, I know that most here are believers, but I would solemnly warn you, dear friend, if you're not saved, what it will mean for you to not have part in the first resurrection. Because as the blessing of eternal life is forever and ever, so the judgment for those who have a part in the second resurrection will be forever and ever. Oh, how solemn this is. And so we learn here that the Lord will give a shout of victory. And I suppose that shout will reach through the whole earth because it's going to raise everyone who has died in Christ. And it's going to serve notice to Satan that the gates of hell did not prevail. Oh, that shout of victory. But then we have also, it says here, the voice of the archangel. That's the authority of heaven. And with the trump of God. Now in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we have the trump again mentioned. The trumpet of God, and also the last trump. And I suppose it was a military statement, because at the last trump they marched. And beloved, that's what's going to happen. When that trumpet sounds, that last trump, we're going to march. Oh, what a day that will be. We'll be caught up to be with our blessed Savior forever. Now, I'm not just speaking to the older ones here. I'm speaking to the little children and young people that know the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a precious sight it will be to see all those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus caught away. One grand company, not just the church, you know, it's all saints. It's not just the church that follows him in those armies out of heaven. It's all the saints. Oh, what a day. That's the hope we were reading about this morning. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven is the one hope of Ephesians 4. One hope. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes, the weakest first. But there won't be any weakness up there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I'm going to read it a little different in this next verse. I believe it's correct reading. For the corruptible must put on incorruptibility. That is, that which can never be corrupted again. Incorruptibility. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory is so great, it'll swallow up death. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day of Jesus Christ. These are the things that will happen in the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, dear friends, we shall be changed. And how will we be changed? To be just like Christ. Just like our precious Savior. A heavenly family that the Father can look upon like Christ. Now, I'd like to turn to the fifth chapter of 2nd, the 10th verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now with some there's great apprehension, and some are disturbed by this scripture. So turn with me to Matthew 17 for a verse, but keep this place. Matthew 17 is a little picture for us of the mount, of the day of glory. The Lord is there. And the disciples were there, and they were afraid. Let's read it. Sixth verse. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man but Jesus only. No man but Jesus only. Now that's the way that you and I should view the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ will be in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ will be after you and I have been given those glorious bodies to be just like Christ. No, there's no thought of apprehension for one who has his eyes on Christ. No, what is the judgment seat for then? Well, it's to give an account to God of your life from the very moment you were brought into this world until you leave it. What for? So he can judge you? No, there's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Every principle of righteousness will be known in that day. That's the day, beloved, when we'll know as we are known. We don't now. We will then. Know as we are known. Would you like to have everything about you known? Yes, I would. For Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to have the slate cleared forever? Never to be remembered again? And why is it brought up? Well, because it's the day when every principle of righteousness, that which I failed in, which will be known. Because there the bride is prepared to go out and reign with Christ in the day of Jesus Christ. And that's why it says in Revelation 19, the bride hath made herself ready. Ready for what? Ready to reign with Christ. No apprehension here. No fear here. No, we'll be in our glorified bodies. for we must all appear. The last verse of Ecclesiastes, we won't turn to it. I believe it's the 14th verse. Every work shall be brought into judgment. Everything will be cleared. Everything will be known. What a day that will be to know as we are known. Now let's turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We can't go into detail on these things this afternoon, but I trust they will exercise our hearts as to the very moment that's upon us. Any moment now would be caught away. We'll hear that last trump in the voice that raises the dead. It's enough, you know, to have our hearts exercised this afternoon. And now what's next? Well, in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He didn't just die, he gave himself entirely for it. I believe is the thought. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Why the washing of water by the word? It's an unusual expression, isn't it? Well, you know, when we get to heaven, were it not for this washing of water by the word, we'd be total strangers there. The Spirit of God is going to prepare us through this washing of the water by the word, so that when we get home, we'll be have a sense that we belong there. Won't that be wonderful? Now, you don't know this daily. You're not conscious of it, perhaps, but this is going on every day. A verse here and a verse there that the Spirit of God brings home to your heart and conscience and mind is the washing of water by the word, to make us feel absolutely at home when we get there. But next, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Christ is going to present the church to himself, how? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the way the church will be presented. All the result of his work on the cross. It could be no otherwise. Oh, to have a sense in our souls of the work of Christ in his fullness. Because that's what will bring praise to his blessed name. 32nd verse. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, this mystery began in type back in Genesis 2. Because there we see that God prepared a helpmate for Adam. One was who was to be his companion. This present world would not be complete without the woman. And so the next. So the next. No, it's his helpmate. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 1, please. Verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness, or the complement, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him. Can we apprehend? Can we lay hold of this? We who are sinners, not 50 pence, brethren, but 500 pence and more, are going to be there as his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It never says that the Lord Jesus is all in all, you know. It's God that's all in all. But the Lord Jesus, blessed be his name, filleth all in all. Filleth all in all. And what did he do in redemption? He completed the work. There's no more work to be done. He filleth all in all. That's another aspect of it. He's the one that's filled it, fulfilled it. He's the one that's completed it all. Now turn with me to Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, majesty, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, power, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now here we have the marriage of the Lamb is come. He has presented her to himself, and now we have the marriage of the Lamb is come. I believe we speak on things rather quickly, don't we? They don't sink in as they should. And you know, we like to rejoice with those that rejoice. We like to go to a wedding down here and to have a part in that joy, the dear ones. But you know what that is? It's a little picture to us of what we have here. It's a picture of something that's eternal. Eternal. Oh, what a day. Well, what have we said? The washing of water by the word. The bride prepared for that day, so she's at home. And where is she at home? Well, you know, in the rapture, when he catches us up, we go right to the Father's house. Do you know that? 14 John. Where he's prepared a place for us. Did you know that you might be there today? This afternoon? Mine? Oh, what a day. And now we have rejoicing in heaven. Let us be glad and rejoice. Not the joys of this world, dear friends. No. There is nothing compared to this joy. What we're going to speak of here is the happiest day in all eternity. And Christ receives his bride. Never has been a happier day and never will be than that day. That was the purpose of God's counsels, that he should have a family. Because we're the children of the resurrection. We're the children of God. You know, the Lord Jesus told Martha in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, how would he be the resurrection and the life? Two ways. First, through redemption. Next, in which we are made one with him, who is the author of life, and who is the life of all being, everything. That's how he is the resurrection and the life. Our blessings are found in resurrection. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's read on. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, or pure and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses, plural, of saints. What are these? Why? In the judgment seat of Christ, awards are given. Rewards. We're going to begin. And we have here those rewards. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, after the marriage, quite often there is a feast. And I understand that in the East, in the early days, sometimes those feasts would last for weeks. Weeks. Long periods of time. Feasts of joy. Oh, beloved, joy like this world has never produced. Never. And that's what's in store for you and me as we're caught away with Jesus, our blessed Savior. Your unsaved soul this afternoon, won't you come with us? Are you going to lag behind because some paltry joys that you have in this poor world? Come along with us. Come along. You won't find anything here but sorrow and death. Jesus came and touched them. And they saw no man but Jesus only. That's the way we view these things, because now everything is Jesus. We'll have our eyes on him for all eternity. Has he ever touched you? You remember Elijah when he was discouraged and the angel came and touched him. He said, rise, me. That's how close he comes. Has he touched you yet, dear soul? Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns or diadems. Absolute right is the diadem. He has an absolute right to reign. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many diadems, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, pure and bright. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he not worthy of it? Is he not worthy of that title? Did he not give his life in redemption so that every man, woman, and child who wants it can be saved? Is he not worthy of that title? Yes, he's coming forth as King of Kings, and you and I are going to come with him. The armies on heaven of heaven followed him. Oh, what a day. What a day. Now, how does the day of Christ, the day of Jesus Christ, close? When does it close? I don't know. But I can suggest that in the first verse, the 10th verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, we have the fullness of times. And it's then when the Lord Jesus has gathered all things under his authority, he gives it up to God, even the Father. God might be all in all. And then, beloved, he takes his inheritance, because the inheritance has nothing to do with the kingdom. The kingdom is just for a time, but the inheritance forever. You and I will join with him in that eternal inheritance that Peter speaks of.